Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Mickey Useups, and this is Wayne Pike Now, a weekly public affairs program about the people, places, and issues that shape our community. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Al Benner of Honesdale, and he has got the neatest thing that he has created. And I have it arrayed here in front of me. It's a book and some seeds and some fun in the garden. And I want to welcome Al Benner to the show. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your new product with us.
My pleasure, Mickey. Happy to be here.
And this is really exciting. It's called Powerful Plants, and it's a way to get kids interested in gardening. And you've done a really cool job. I'm already into it.
Thank you very much.
Now, so Awa, you have a farm near Honesdale. So let's find out a little bit about you. Tell us about yourself and how you came to be on the farm in Honesdale.
Sure. Well, I grew up down in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. My father was a professor of horticulture. So being that he was an instructor in that field, we always had a big vegetable garden each summer. And I grew up around plants, eating healthy, growing my own vegetables. Even my first little business was actually a roadside vegetable stand, ironically. So it's kind of come full circle. But I guess it's been about 13 years ago now. I was looking for a place upstate here. I was starting a moss company, which I still have, Moss Acres, here in Honesdale. And driving around on a back road along the Dieberry and stumbled upon an old house for sale. And the rest is history. Now I have an old school farm along the banks of the Dieberry, biodiverse farm of about 50 acres with a lot of different things that we grow there. So we're excited. We're just in about our fifth year there with the farm, but having twin 8-year-old boys, there's a lot going on. And that's kind of where this idea was hatched from, was the way to get kids engaged with growing their own food and get them outside and away from the screens.
And like you said, you have two young sons, Owen and Coleman.
Correct.
Both 8 years old,
yes.
8-year-old twins. So you know that's a challenge.
Yes, they're fidgeting here in the studio right now as we speak.
Wonderful boys, though. They're doing fine. And now part of what you decided to do really was a way to really get kids geared into the farm, into growing things.
Correct.
So talk a little bit about your experiences with your own children.
Sure. Well, you know, ever since they were barely, they could walk, I've had them out, you know, in the garden. And, you know, the thing I've learned is that when they're out there and they're picking things and putting them in their mouths, they get that taste. And children, I've learned, and it's true, the research has been done, they have very sensitive palates. So they know the difference between something that is tasty and something that isn't. And if you give them vegetables that you grow yourself in healthy soil like we have up here, they can really taste the difference. They will reject things that are sort of flavorless out of the supermarket. So when you give them something they grow themselves, they seem to like enjoy it more and being more involved with it. So the idea was kind of born out of the fact that I saw them playing with some different, you know, trading cards. I won't mention any particular names, but it seemed like a dead end street. And I was thinking, you know what? Couldn't we make these into really cool characters that kids would get really excited about? And we'll call them Powerful Plants. And that was the idea was born.
And I love it. On the cover of the book that you gave me in preparation for the interview, Real Plants, Real Powers, Real Fun. And I found that really, I like that. I think that's cute because it speaks to sort of the antithesis of the video game.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Where you're sitting there and inside and you're manipulating characters. This is more hands-on, so they're in the soil, and we're going to talk in depth about the product itself, but we wanted to really help people to understand what you were trying to achieve. So you've got a couple of different elements to what you've got going on here. You've got the book, you've got the app, and then you've got the seeds. One of the things I noticed is these are all heirloom plants, all heirloom type of seeds. Let's talk a little bit about what that is and why you decided to focus on that.
That's a really good point. The seeds that I focused on were for a few different reasons. First of all, we've grown a lot of these on the farm at Old School Farm. So I know which ones are relatively easy to grow, would be good for kids, but most importantly, the ones that really have great flavor. And a lot of these heirlooms are sort of overlooked because they, you know, they might not be the perfect shape. They might not last as long, but I'll tell you, something like a dragon's tongue bean, if you ever haven't had that before, the flavor is just incredible. So we focused on things that would be fun for kids. We have Tom Thumb Pea, which is an old variety. My research, I found out it was brought to Philadelphia in the 1850s from Europe. And, you know, it's a dwarf pea plant, which is great for young children. So the thing that happened with Powerful Plants, just to elaborate on, you mentioned the app, Mickey. I originally had the idea of doing some trading cards with these characters, right? So that kind of went away once I realized I met this guy, Larry Miller, and Larry is helping me very closely now with this brand. And basically Larry does he does augmented reality, which is an app where you can actually view an image and it will come to life through your device. So as much as I said, trying to get kids away from the screens, I realize that kids are glued to these screens,
right?
But I'm trying to bridge that technology and to the outdoors. So this is like a fun way to bring these characters to life right on these 36 different seed packs. The character then goes on for about 2.5 minutes to tell them all these amazing facts. There's fun. They do a little dance or a little juggling routine or whatever. And there's some jokes, but there's more than anything. There's just an incredible amount of information. And then it inspires them to go out and grow it and see what happens. And so we're connecting technology to the world outdoors.
You demonstrated it for me just moments before we went on the air. And it was amazing. Basically, you used your phone and with the camera looked at the seed packet. And with the app, the picture on the seed packet, the character on the seed packet, in this case, a Snow White tomato, starts dancing around and talking and telling her story. And, you know, you're not going to find me in the grocery store because I don't last that long on the shelf. You set the thing down and it just stayed. It's still connected to it. And she was still dancing around on the package, even though we had set it down.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we're embracing the technology. It's funny because the irony was the whole idea was to get them away from the technology. But I've come back to it because of the educational element. And it's really slick. I mean, we have teenagers that look at this and they go, that's sick. Yeah. And that means really good. Yeah. I shouldn't overlook the book. The book's about 40 pages of learning and all the characters in there also come to life. However, they don't come to life until the child answers 3 questions on each page. Oh, wow. So they have to answer them. And those are actually tied to contests. We're going to have about 4 contests in the coming year that we're launching. Design the next character. You know, sing along with the karaoke version of the theme song. Uh-huh. We have our own theme song, believe it or not. And then we also have a couple other contests. We have a grand prize contest, which is like a vacation at our farm. So we got some really cool stuff going on.
How difficult was it for you to be able to source those seeds?
Well, they're all organic. So I made the commitment to get the USDA organic seal. Not as hard as I thought it would be. I've got a couple different seed suppliers in New England and New York State that I'm working with. And I'm able to get these varieties. It was a little bit challenging to decide which ones I was going to get originally. Yes, some of them were limited. I couldn't get seeds for certain things. However, in the end, I got most of what I wanted. I'll be perfectly honest. A few of them were selected because they have really cool names. I mean, Dragon's Tongue, honestly, our character is a dragon with beans for...
Right? Yeah, and it's really neat looking. And what I love about the individual characters, they are very expressive of those plants. When you get into, like, we have the vegetable packets, but when you get into the book, you have the willow tree, the Douglas fir, and they have these, the images really evoke the things that I know about willow and about Douglas fir.
But you mentioned willow, you know, the Native Americans got their medicine from willow, their aspirin, their painkiller was from chewing on willow twigs. So you know, what came to mind for the willow character is sort of what you mentioned, a nurturing character, weeping willow. And she wants to protect the environment and help people. That's that character.
Yeah, definitely. And very elegant, beautiful animation. I mean, the illustration is just really something to behold. Today, I'm joined by Al Benner, who is the author and creator of Powerful Plants. It's a wonderful book and a series of seeds and seed packets that are designed to get kids excited about getting into the garden, teaching them lots of information about these different plants and a lot of other plants, not just the vegetables. Al, it's been great having you. What a wonderful product. We've been talking about the beautiful illustration, the interaction with technology and being outdoors and, you know, getting your hands dirty and planting things and growing food. There is a book that goes along with it and it introduces a lot of the characters. We were talking before the break about how the characters reflect sort of the characteristics of the plants. And that's, it sort of expresses that. And that's kind of part of what you were doing. It's about teaching kids about what the plants are so that they reflect those qualities. Like you said, real powers.
Right.
Let's talk about some of the things. We talked about willow and things like that. But you have some unusual things in there. I noticed the sphagnum moss.
Yeah,
we have puffball mushroom.
Yeah, we have puffball. What I've done a lot with the names is broken them in half, usually, puffball, sphagnum. And then we have our carrot character, which is a red cord Chantenay heirloom carrot. But now I couldn't figure out what to call him. So we called him Daucus. Daucus is Latin for carrot.
Okay.
So Daucus is actually sort of the star of the first book. That this first volume is called The Carrot Napping, sort of like, you know, kidnapping, but carrot napping. And he's actually taken hostage by Mean Gene and taken to a secret underground laboratory where they're going to try to genetically modify him. So there's a juicer in the scene.
And oh, geez.
The juicer turns on. He's just about to be juiced to have his genes changed around. And he gets into a sort of an argument with Mean Gene. And then his buddies Puffball and Musclewood break the door down, blow a cloud of spores for Puffball, and then they rescue him. So it's a fun story, but that's woven through the rest of the characters where there's all the learning about all these different plants.
Sure. I love it. That's what, and you know, I think it's a great idea. We talked a little bit about it, you know, genetically modified. There's different opinions about things like that and what effect it may have, but it's something that the young people are going to need to deal with.
Right.
Whatever. I mean, they're the ones who are most likely to figure out what the consequences are or may be. You know, so getting them learning about it and talking about it from very early stages can only increase how much they ultimately learn about it.
I think you're right. My wife kind of jokes with me. I was reading the boys like the Wall Street Journal when they were 3 months old or something. But I've always treated them more like adults in a lot of ways. I speak to them like adults a lot. And I share with them a lot of information that maybe some other adults wouldn't. But I think in the end, kids need to be able to, like you said, make choices, understand what's going on. And if I'm going to expose to them things like GMOs, you know, I feel one way about it, but I respect everyone's opinion. But regardless, they need to at least be exposed and understand so they can make good decisions. So, you know, that's a good point you bring up.
There are also, I noticed, cautionary tales, if you will. I noticed that you've got a segment in there on poison ivy.
Correct.
You know, I mean, anybody who spends any time in the woods up here needs to know how to identify it and what to do about it.
Well, yeah, Poison Ivy is the one character in the book that is slightly sinister. She cozies up to different trees and then wraps herself around them and can strangle them. So she's a bit sinister, and she actually is rumored to be hanging out with Grendel Greed. And Grendel Greed is the gentleman I came up with of this. He's the leader of the Selfish Seven, who have talked about in this book. But they're humans that are actually doing bad things to our planet, like polluting Polly, Wasteful Wally, Mean Gene. Okay. Grendel Greed is their leader. And so these are, you know, bad guys and girls, so to speak, that the powerful plants are going to have to help stand up against to save the planet.
You've got so many layers to what you're teaching, because you've got the interaction with the app. You've got them out in the field planting seeds and growing plants. And then you have these sort of moral plays, stories where they can begin to learn about the tensions between all of these different things, whether it's genetically modified organisms or, you know, development and commercialization. Or you've kind of created this very broad platform for families and children to explore all that stuff in really positive ways. I'm suitably impressed.
Thank you very much. It's sort of morphed as it's gone along. Like I said, originally I thought of trading cards, and next thing you know, I have an interactive storybook. We also are going to be launching later this spring a carrot growing contest, and there's actually a pack of seeds that comes with every Powerful Plants book, so you can then go out and plant your carrots. And there's a lot going on with these contests. I wanted to foster creativity here, and sort of curiosity, and going out in the garden certainly does that. But in the book and on the seed packs, we want to create an incredible amount of learning for children. And I do come from a long line of teachers, so I guess it's in my blood, so to speak. But the thing we've struggled with a bit is that when people see what I showed you a few moments ago with the animation on these packs of seeds or in the book, their jaws drop. And they say either this is brilliant or oh my God or wow. And even on our website, which I guess people should at least know where our website is,
yes.
powerfulplants.net. It's not .com, it's powerfulplants.net. We even struggle there to truly communicate just how sort of amazing this is, because we have a video and we have a young girl actually bring characters to life on seed packs, and we show that right on the homepage. But until people have even just held a pack in their hands and done this, it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah, you definitely have to see it for yourself. I can vouch for that for sure. You put together a top 10 reasons what's good about getting your kids into the garden, and I thought we'd have you share that with us.
Oh, great, thanks. I honestly had a hard time whittling it down. The garden, I really believe, said the garden's the best classroom around. I really believe that wholeheartedly. I think a lot of my creativity and just interest and passions and enthusiasm were, you know, sort of spawned in me by my father when I was a young boy. He's instilled in me that passion and love of nature and plants. So I really have to thank him. And my dad's still kicking. He's 85 and
wow.
So the first one was, the outdoors instills a sense of purpose in children and helps create a sense of place and reason for being. Kids need this to feel grounded, calm, and safe. The second one I have is, the outdoors fosters a sense of wonder and curiosity. I really, truly believe that.
That is definitely true.
Growing vegetables stimulates the brain in many fun yet educational ways. The color green has been proven in many studies to have a calming and restorative effect on humans. A garden is an amazing classroom, perhaps the best. Children learn an incredible variety of skills, including ecology, biology, entomology, math, physics, chemistry, and of course, horticultural skills. Number five, by putting our hands in the soil, we humans calm and soothe our souls. Warm soil just feels so real, and the connection to our past so strong, it is hard to explain. For children that have challenges with learning and in conventional classroom settings, or issues with attention span and focus, the garden can have a calming and positive. Number six, gardening puts us at the mercy of Mother Nature. You know, if you don't have enough rain, you have too much rain, you have it's too hot, too dry. Every year is different. It makes us humble is what I wanted to say.
Absolutely. And teaches you to deal with adversity.
Plants are really cool.
Especially these plants.
They teach children important life lessons as they continually reflect how they and the soil they are grown in are treated. Kids get constant direct feedback on their efforts from growing food. Since none of this happens quickly, gardening also teaches patience. And I think, honestly, if there's one thing out of all this, that the patience that you have to wait. You don't get an instant gratification by pushing a button on a screen. Right. You have to wait to see when those seeds are going to come up. You have to wait for those beans to get ready. But you know how much it's going to be worth it when they actually ripen. Number eight, growing their own vegetables provides children with an amazing appreciation for how fresh, organically grown food really tastes and gets them hooked on it. Nine, our moods are greatly affected by being out in the sun. And physical exercise, those are all critical. To see kids sampling the fruits of their labor in the garden is something I simply can't explain in words. To me, this is what life is really all about in its purest form. Last but not least, kids who get involved with growing their own food and eating it will change their eating habits, and this will most likely lead to healthier and happier lives.
Yeah, definitely. And if you agree with all that and you want to get your kids out into the garden and really get them having fun with it, not you know, just dragging them out there, but really getting them excited about it before you even get out there.
Right.
And then, you know, getting their hands dirty and planting those plants and keeping them interacting with it and learning. If you're into that, then you want to go to the website. It's powerfulplants.net. My guest today has been Al Benner, who is the creator of this amazing group of products. It's heirloom seeds that are easy for the kids to grow a lot with the instructions. They're interactive. You can watch little videos with it. They also have a wonderful book. The animations are fantastic. The illustrations are beautiful. Lots of great information, great stories. I look forward to seeing a lot more of this stuff in the next couple of years.
I hope we do, Mickey. My goal is just to help kids get reconnected with what they're eating and get them outside. So I really appreciate the opportunity today to speak with you.
I was really glad we were able to get you in here today to talk about it. Thanks again, Al.
Thank you, Mickey. Have a great one.
All right. And I thank all of you for tuning in. Drop by again next week and we'll talk some more.